we're getting set up. Alrighty. Cheryl, hello. You can hear me and see me?
Hello.
Hi. It's early for you, isn't it? What time is it?
It's 6 o'clock, so if you look that carefully, you'll see that I'm still in my jammies.
I'm so impressed. I was thinking of you this morning because I woke up at 6 a.m. and I thought, oh, this is going to be Cheryl having to jump on a call at this time.
Yeah, so if we move them around, good.
Yeah, definitely aware of that. Jackie, what time is it for you? You're in Victoria, so you're the same as me, aren't you?
Nine,
beautiful. And Jennifer, what is it for you at the moment?
If I was in Calgary, it's 4, but I'm actually on holidays in Maui, so it's 12, so it's beautiful. It worked out really well.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
How long are you there for?
I leave Monday, but we've been here for a week, so it's been fantastic.
I've never been to Hawaii. I would love to go.
Oh, do. Definitely. I've taken everyone's advice, and I've been, like, bathing in the ocean and just clearing energies. It's been wonderful.
I've heard that it has quite a spiritual energy to it. Would you agree with that? Yeah.
100%. Yeah, hugely.
Wow. Love it. So that's good, actually. That timing works super well for you, doesn't it? I didn't even think about
it
that.
Works, but yeah, really well.
Yeah. Shamna's here. Hello. I'm so sure if you were going to be able to join us. I'm so thrilled you're here.
I am. I don't know how much sense I'm going to make, but I am here.
We were just checking in with the timing of where everyone is, and it's like 6 a.m. for Cheryl. She's like, I'm in my PJs, and I know it's late for you, isn't it, on Saturday night?
Yeah. It's 10 o'clock here, but it's good because tonight is when the clocks change, so as of next week, it'll be 11, so it works okay.
I wonder, does anyone else know when we change in Australia?
Next weekend.
Yeah, it's the first weekend in April, I believe.
Is it? Mm. Interesting. Okay. Well, we'll factor that in when we get into scheduling our next, because I think everyone will then shift a little bit with the timing. So I'll factor that in when we are beginning, locking in our times for the next call. How beautiful is this to have everyone here? I just love this. Oh, my internet says I'm unstable. If I'm dropping it out at any point, just let me know. Michelle is here. Hello. Beautiful to see you. Can you hear me and see me okay, Michelle?
Yep.
Beautiful. Oh, my God, you guys are amazing. So we're waiting on 3 more people, which is totally fine. But I say we just kind of get started.
Sorry, can I just ask, are we meant to see everybody? Because I can only see you and myself.
Okay. You are meant to see everybody. Can everyone else tell me what you're currently seeing?
So you change the view at the top of the screen on the right. So you can go, I think it's gallery view or speaker view only.
Yeah, so you can change the view. That's right.
Yeah.
You can change
on the right.
So top right-hand corner.
On the top of the screen, you can see.
It doesn't say, it just says mute, stop video, share content, participants, and raise hand, hide my video, disconnect video. That's all it says. Oh, sorry, it's on the left for me.
Oh, is it on the left for you?
Yeah. So we want gallery view, okay.
Yeah, so I'm keeping it on.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah you've got it so you can see everyone. And that's
the screen
I'm ideally recording on, because Zoom is sometimes funny. You can't tell quite where you're at, but I'm pretty sure the way I've got it set up is I'm going to be recording so that we can see everyone. Hello, Carol. Beautiful to see you. You're muted for some reason. Let me unmute you. You there? Oh, can't hear you at the moment for some reason. Yeah, I'm not sure why that is. I want to make sure I can hear you though. Oh, she's going to come back on. Okay. Can I hear you, Carol? Can't hear you, my love. I don't know why that is. You're not showing, you're showing as unmuted for me. I don't know, maybe try taking out the head. Oh, okay. Popping in and out. All right, I'm just going to get started because I'm mindful of the time. And people will come in as they do. But I appreciate you all being here, making the effort to be here for that first call, knowing that it's not necessarily ideal timing for everyone. And for some people, it's Sunday morning. Totally get that. But I really honor you each for making the time to be here for yourself, to be here for the rest of the group. and to, yeah, to be kicking off our journeys together with all of our energies here. How are you going, Carol?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Cool. Sorry, guys, I'm in a different environment this morning. Sorry, just trying to work my way through that.
No problems at all. Beautiful to have you here. So the way that I would love to run the call today is I want to make sure that everyone gets an opportunity to share personally, to have a chance to talk about what's going on for them, what they're needing support with. I look like I've frozen. Can everyone hear me okay? Okay. Am I looking okay to everyone?
Yep.
Yeah, good.
Beautiful.
I wasn't sure if I'd frozen. Beautiful. If at any point anything does happen, you can use the chat box just to let me know if anything's dropped out on my end. So I'd love everyone to have the opportunity to share and to be able to talk both with me individually and to share with the group and get support from the group as well. And so let's just all be mindful. I mean, we have, I can't count properly, I think six of us here at the moment. So we want to make sure that everyone gets equal opportunity where possible, equal time and space to be able to share and be heard. So I will aim to keep us within an hour. We may run a little bit over. If people need to jump off at any point, that's totally fine. We may even, I'm thinking, start with you, Shubna, as well, seeing it's quite late for you. But what I'd love to do, I was thinking how I'd like to run this. What we might do first, go around, and I'd love for each person to share what your biggest, something coming through for me. Is that me? Okay, that's sounding all right. I have a little bit of noise coming in. I'd love for each person to share maybe your biggest insight, takeaway, realization, piece of clarity or shift from class one. And as we sort of saw in the Facebook group, it may not even be the particular content that created that shift for you. It might have just been, oh, coming into, you know, I saw Cheryl processing this and actually having to sit down and work through the workbook activated its whole own process in itself. Oh, Paula's telling me she's here in the comments. Paula, I can't see you. Is your video on? And is your audio on? Because at the moment, my love, you're not appearing for me. Can anyone else see Paula? Is it just me that can't
see? I can see Paula and she's muted and there's just an image of two people sitting at like a cafe or something for her, not her actual, not her herself.
Interesting. She says she's having some problems. Yeah, at the moment, Paula, I can't see. You're not popping up for me. Maybe it would also be a matter of, yeah, if you, even if you tried to unmute and turn your video on when you come on too. Oh, I've signed in through Facebook.
I signed in through Facebook.
You did?
And everyone, I think, can see me.
Yep, can see you too. All right, Paula, I'll let you figure that out because I'm not quite sure what's going on and I'll just keep going, but hopefully we can get you on so your video and sound can appear for everyone because it'd be beautiful to see you. Okay, so our first piece is we're going to be just reflecting and sharing just one key insight shift piece of clarity takeaway from our first class. And let's sort of keep that relatively succinct so we have time to cover everything. And then the second thing is we'll go around as well and let everyone have a chance to get the support they need. So think about, is there an area you're feeling stuck? Is there something that you'd love to talk to me or the group about to get some guidance, some tools on, some clarity around? What really came up for you that if you could, yeah, get some individual support on that, it would make a really big difference for you. So I'll give each person a chance to share what they're needing some support with and we can talk it out. And I promise you, like everything that each of you share, you will each all gain from each other's because you're all moving through the same coursework at the moment. So I hope you all gain value from it. All right, my love Shubna, I'm going to start with you, putting you on the spot as the first person. Tell me, biggest takeaway from class one? Oh, have I lost your video? Frozen on me.
Yeah, you've sort of freeze in and out, you're back again for me now.
Okay, beautiful. I've got you now.
The question that surprised me most, and I still haven't worked through it fully, is what reasons might you not feel fully safe in your body? Because I thought I'd worked through most of that stuff. And there's still a little bit around that. So even being aware of that was really helpful for me. And tied in with that, the biggest take home was a lot of the stuff that I want to work on is around giving myself time. So time to hear my intuition, time to actually ask for what I want and to feel like a priority again in every single situation. So it's yeah, that's my biggest bedtime.
Can anyone else relate to that? Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. Jennifer.
Yeah. I think my biggest insight was recognizing all the energy leaks and just really seeing, like you had talked about, the bucket and pulling that energy back. That was huge for me. I'm a person that says yes to a lot of things, even though when I want to say no. And so seeing how we're really feeling that energy of just letting it all, like all these energy leaks, was just really, it was really powerful for me to recognize that.
Beautiful. Thank you. Amazing. Michelle.
The notes that I wrote at the time was, how would I speak to myself if I fully loved myself? And stop investing energy in the voice that's tearing you down. That was really powerful. Like, I wrote that line down and I remember I stopped voice all the back in so many of my life. So yeah, that one was a really powerful one for me.
Beautiful.
So learning how to trust that is going to be a big one for me.
Massive. Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Cheryl.
Mine was, or as I'd said in the community, the note of just perfectionism, but tied in with that is the energy leaks. As Jennifer had said, I actually started doing a list just of things that came to mind, of situations or things like in my past where I've actually talked to myself, and I made a note of the things that I actually said to myself. And I was really blown away by how much energy I pour into critical self-talk. It's so ingrained in me, the way that I speak to myself. I actually had no idea. And then that, when I think about it, it just comes into the perfectionism and that whole perfectionism thing that I was on Facebook. I mean, I only related it to the workbook and to my work, but in actual fact, that's in so many areas of my life. It's about my image. I just buy endless clothes because I'm constantly trying to find the perfect outfit and perfect image, which in my mind, going out of the night and then the next morning just beating myself up so badly because I didn't think that I looked as good as I could have done. So, and I found that really quite enlightening. It was quite powerful this week. It was so strong too. I really want to get rid of that.
Big one to see. Amazing. Sometimes we land on these big, massive core things that have been driving us for years and we're like, wow, somebody yeah. see it. Huge one for you. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Carol, my love, unmute you. I want to hear you.
I'm just trying to think about what is the biggest thing I've actually learnt over the last couple of weeks. Because I'm growing all the time, so I kind of sometimes sort of forget what the big things are, but probably one of the big things I've really focused on is just how much energy I give away to others. Even before I got on the call this morning, I was kind of running around helping other people rather than getting myself prepared. So and that's something that I do quite often, and I've kind of noticed how much my energy for myself is either, and I've spoken about this before, but is either in or out in terms of how much I focus on me. I'm either fully in it or I'm fully out of it. So just trying to get that consistency and balance just on a daily basis, I think it's probably something that would be really important to me. Yeah.
Thank you. And I just want to mention there, and this is something we might talk about when we go further into what you want support with, what I was picking up on then is almost like our energy can always be going outwards, but I think it's always got to be on us at all times first. So rather than it being like my energy's on me or it's on other people, it's like it's always on me, in me, but I'm still can be giving from my connection to myself versus needing to disconnect from myself to give to other people. That's just something that was dropping in for me. We might talk about that a bit more, but that's an interesting thing to look at, how you're using your energy when you're with other people. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Jackie. Jackie, can I unmute you? Or can you unmute yourself?
I've had a really interesting one too. Sorry, you're dropping in and out and then you're coming up.
Yeah, sorry. I know my connection's looking a bit funny. Yeah, I can hear you now.
So I think for me it's just been really nice to be mindful. I haven't it's been nice to be to remember to anchor. And I've been more aware of emotions that are coming up and then just being like, oh, okay, so that's how I'm feeling, and just acknowledging it without judgment. So I've actually had a really good couple of weeks.
Beautiful. That's such a simple practice, but it makes such a difference, that mindfulness and witnessing and watching. Beautiful work. Thank you. Beautiful. Now, Paula, I still can't see you. Are you? Just let me know in the comments if you're still here with us. I don't know if it's possible for you to unmute yourself and talk through the call. You're not coming up on my screen at the moment. Can anyone else let me know if you can see Paula at the moment? Well, she says she's here. I don't know why it's not appearing for me. Paula, would you mind, I don't know if it would work, potentially logging off the call and coming back in, because maybe it'll make you appear, because at the moment, hon, I just can't see you. So it's telling me I've got 8. So, oh, hang on, Paula, unmute. Oh, hang on, Paula, I think I can hear you now. It's just showing me that your video isn't on. I think that's, Paula, could you say something now so I can see if I can hear you? No. Yeah, because you're showing up. You're showing as not being on video for me. You're showing on sound now, but I can't seem to hear anything. But maybe try logging out and coming back in and it might bring you up. I'm so sorry, love. I just at the moment can't see you or hear you. Okay. But I do want to hear what you have to share. So hopefully we can get you on here. Okay, beautiful team. All right, so let's tune in now to just feeling into what you would most love support with. What has felt like it's challenged you? What you've noticed coming up that you really would love some support to break through and work through? An area or two, let's try to keep it again as succinct as possible, which you all did a beautiful job with. Thank you. So that both myself and the group can offer anything to you that might help you. So just thinking about what that is for you. Paula, my love, you're here. I see you. I'm sorry if my connection's looking a bit funny for anyone. All right, Paula, I've got you.
Hey.
I think, beautiful, you're here. Okay.
I'm on my phone.
You're amazing. You're amazing.
Let I got me there.
You're here. And you look gorgeous in yellow today. Let me ask you, you would have heard everyone else sharing what your takeaway was from class one or your insight clarity.
Big week. I avoided your workbook and your first video.
I think a lot of you might have.
For at least a week. And then got into it. Listen, really appreciated, I guess, that feeling of getting into my body, and I think I found my anchor, and I've just spent the week asking for help, doing things that I don't normally do, and I'm really appreciative of that.
I remember when we had our discovery call, we did speak a bit about that. So it's beautiful to hear that you've been reaching out to get the support that you need.
Yeah, it's easier than I thought.
Well done. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Love it. Love it. All right, Shobna, I'm going to start with you. Tell me a bit about what you're most needing some support with, or where you're stuck, feeling challenged.
There's no one thing coming up. Doing the workbook has reinforced to me the importance of just setting boundaries again. It comes back to what I said about needing time for myself. And it ties in with what a few other people said about saying no to other people. But like I said, there's no real one thing coming up for me at the moment.
where are you feeling, is there anything around the boundaries, time for yourself saying no, that you're either feeling stuck or you're noticing yourself acting in a way that doesn't feel aligned or with how you're wanting to be acting or showing up?
Nothing in it's seeing myself that awareness and acting like every day, and I'm aware that I'm in a bit of an odd feeling right now because I've just got back from a full-on conference in another town. It's been people in my face for the last 48 hours and then a friend in the car talking at me for 3 hours, so I'm also feeling a little bit constricted right now. Whereas
totally get it. Let me ask you one final question and I just get you to tune into yourself around it. What are you most needing at the moment?
Space and silence.
Oh, I got goosebumps. What would that give you?
The ability to exhale and expand and just relax.
And so all I would say is beautiful, honor that. So when you tune in and you hear what it is that you need and you can feel, wow, what that would give for me. And none of this has to be complicated, does it? It's just like, okay, right now, in order to come back to me and to feel like I have the ability to make time for myself and put in my boundaries and say no to things, I'm just really going to need to come back into my own energy and have some space and silence for a little bit. And then from there, whatever else I need to do will emerge. That clarity will appear for me from that. Yeah?
Mm.
Anything else? What does that feel like? It's it for you at the moment?
Sorry, I missed that. What did you say?
Is there anything else or does that feel like it's it for you at the moment?
That feels like it for me at the moment.
Beautiful. Thank you for being here and thank you for being here late on a Saturday evening after a big trip. I appreciate you making the time to be here.
Ooh, I really wanted to be here. I'm glad to be.
Really, really nice to see you. Thank you, beautiful. I appreciate you sharing all of that. Who feels like they'd like to go next? Raise your hand if you feel like you want to go next. Beautiful. Thank you, Cheryl.
I have realized, and I've never really paid much attention to this, just how much of the masculine energy I live in through my work, through my husband, just everything. And when it comes to when I read your note about suggesting I write a new story for myself and to sit down and feel the answers, I mean, I was just doing such the opposite. You know, I was just really trying to look at it in a masculine way. And even though I do take steps to really try and anchor myself and ground myself, and I have a lovely room that I've created, and I really spend a lot of time in here just, you know, really trying to have silence. And but I'd like more to be able to know how to feel. I feel like it's still, there's still just such blocks there of being able to really feel what it is that I'm wanting, and feel the answers, if you like, rather than, like, I still always come back into my head and approach it from a masculine energy. So and from that, I just think that that would help me so much with, like, I'm getting what I did realize last night, actually, when I was just going through my notes. I actually just had a insight that I just really need to, which is so obvious, but I really need to just have some positive self-talk going on and rewriting that story. And I just feel like I need to be in a different energy to be able to do that.
Beautiful. I totally hear you. That was a really interesting insight to watch you go through in the Facebook community. And I appreciated you being so honest around that, around like, wow, I'm approaching the workbook the way I'd approach a work document, you know, and I'm there on my computer and I'm kind of in more of the analytical space. And that's a beautiful insight in itself to realize, oh, this completing this coursework isn't just about, oh, sorry, shifting into my heart to complete this coursework isn't just about getting the answers on the page. This is a shift around how I want to be living, like living more anchored from my heart and from my feelings. Let me just start with, what so far do you know helps you get into the feeling heart space?
quietness and stillness and alone time, which I can, which is why I created the room for myself. But I mean, at the end of the day, there's only so much time I can spend in here without then having to have a very serious discussion with my husband as to why I'm always spending time in the room. I guess what helps me, what I've found is that with the masculine energy, I've actually just had this, I didn't realise, but I've had this craving for being in that. Grounding. So it's like my body screaming out or my soul screaming out to have this feminine energy and be grounded. So I'm trying to do all those things, but I'm still just very much up in my head.
Well, the beginning point of this is that it does have to be quite a conscious, deliberate practice to get into the feminine, get into the heart space. If your life is not structured on that at the moment, structured being quite a masculine word, if we've kind of got a life that's set up or in a corporate job or in, you know, the way that we've been living takes us into our masculine and we're spending perhaps 80%, let's just say, of our day in that energy, it is going to have to be quite a conscious, deliberate practice to reach for and find and activate the energy of the feminine and that other energy we're wanting to tap into. So it may not at the moment be something that, yeah, it's just at the click of the fingers you can feel there. It might still need to be, right, okay, I've spent my day in my masculine. You know, this is why we create sometimes morning practices or evening practices. What are all the things I know that will help me come back into my body, come back into my feminine and feel? And I think it's continuing with the working with these things that help you connect with that energy. Let me also just open up for the group. For any of you who have been struggling with this, what helps you, just in general, if we can offer any tips for Cheryl, what helps you feel? What helps you get into your body? What helps you access your feminine? Just share, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't mind, because, you know, how Cheryl's feeling now is how very much I was feeling even when I spoke to you a few weeks ago. And it's been quite interesting. The last week, despite me feeling really anchored and aware, my last week I've actually had a couple of 12 and 14 hour days. And in the past I would approach those and I'd be so, have this such frenetic energy and I'd be so anxious about it. But even just because I've, and even what Shabna was saying, you know, trying to take time for yourself, you know, I haven't made any more time for myself, but it hasn't made that much of a difference because I've just somehow been able to be like, this is how I'm feeling. Oh, okay. It's actually okay. And I've just let the week go flow and it's been one of the busiest weeks, but I'm not feeling frantic, which is just amazing. I don't know what the shift has been except the awareness and maybe the acceptance, because I've always been thinking, oh my God, I'm so masculine during the day. There must be something wrong with this. But maybe it's not.
So maybe not judging or resisting as much, using that masculine energy sometimes to achieve what you need to achieve.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. And that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because we don't want to come into this then judging or resisting when we need to step into our masculine. I need to be in it a lot for my work too, for running a business. And I suppose the couple of things that I've done is, you know, as I've spoken about, is have practices and rituals that reconnect me to the feminine. But at times also being like, how can I also bring my feminine into this a little bit? Mm-hmm. And to Jackie's point, it's sort of the awareness constantly of how I'm feeling. How am I feeling? And can I flow? That's still the feminine too. Can I flow with what life is giving me and not need to control as much, but flow with it? Sometimes the feminine is the just the softening into what is, the softening into what's, because I find the masculine is when I try to then right plan and strategize and control, versus like, I've got a crazy week, can I just open up and flow with this and maybe enjoy this? Sometimes that's a way to bring a little bit more of the feminine too. I'd love to hear other people's experiences. What works for you each?
Cheryl, last year I, as you know, I'm an accountant, so at the end of last financial year was a really heavy time for me. I broke my arm and had to do that right for the end of financial year, so it was a bit of a mess. But so I was so in my masculine, I had to really make a huge change. So I actually signed up for a course, and I, through the years, I've done so many courses. But this course actually allowed me to just, there was no content. So there was no needing to do anything. And from there, I kind of just started doing a lot more like journaling and expressing and things like that, just to try and just change the way I was living my life and trying to understand some of the qualities feminine energy is, and kind of trying to just focus a little bit on bringing that more into my day, and not huge steps, but actually just releasing the need to do stuff all the time, just allowed me some space to just understand a little bit more about what I was feeling and what I sort of desired. So and without putting pressure on myself to actually to be in a certain place or have to do anything at all. So just that really helped me over a long period of time, probably 6 months. Helped me to feel a lot more. So yeah, journaling, massive. Yeah.
Thanks guys. I actually think thank you both. But when Jackie said about just being with it, I think I'm putting too much pressure on myself, which again comes back to the masculine energy. So
I just the perfectionism as well.
Totally. And when she said that, it just and you just confirmed it again, Carol. When she said that, it just resonated so much. And I could actually, I just sort of had this vision of things that I'm doing, you know, thinking, oh, I'll just dance around. Oh, I'm not getting it. I'm not, you know, I'm not grounded. So there must be.
Oops, I'm dropping out again.
I had a session and the lady actually said to me, because I think I've shared, I was a practice manager of accounting firms and legal firms, and I see, and I was part of it as well, but I see how women have to present themselves in such a strong masculine state all the time. And when I worked at KPMG, I was, you know, the black suit, white shirt all the time. That's all I ever wore. The biggest shift for me in being able to drop back to that feminine space, and it may sound really simple, but I started changing the colors I wore to work. So I would have like a pink shirt or a yellow shirt or something different or top underneath. But also I put flowers on my desk. And whilst I was spiritual, I was in a spiritual closet. So I took things that meant something to me to work and had them on my desk as well, because that connected me back to who I truly was as a person. I wasn't the persona, the ego that was sitting there needing to be masculine all the time. I was that other person outside of that corporate life, and having the flowers, having things that meant something to me, which back then was like crystals, just a couple of like small crystals, not hippie, like completely crystal shop out type of thing. But wearing different colors changed my energy and made me feel more feminine. Changing even the makeup that I was wearing went from quite harsh to quite soft. And it allowed me to be masculine because I needed to be in those environments to succeed. But it also allowed me to then soften and go, you know what? I am this other person. I am truly very feminine. Pictures of like my dogs, like I'd have pictures of my dogs on my desk, just think, oh yeah, I'm not this person for 12 hours every day. I am actually somebody else. I am still, you know, a spiritual being. I am a, you know, I still am a woman as well. But also as to what Carol was saying, journaling for me is the, like, it is my jam. It's just the thing that gets me out of my head as well. But also now that I've been out of the corporate world full time for 12 months, I'm blessed enough to live near the beach. Water always does it for me. And if it's not going down to just the beach and listening to the water, watching the water, it's actually having a long hot bath. Like for me, turning the lights off, putting some candles on and just really allowing myself to connect back. So those things work for me as well. Yeah,
they're good ideas. Thanks, Michelle. Thank you. No problem.
Yeah, I dropped out it a little bit there, but I came in and heard what you were all sharing. And this is why I love like bringing you all together, because it's not just about what I have to say. It's each of your real experiences of what's worked for you. And I'm loving that everyone can offer different insights around what's helped you. And the things that I picked up on from that, Cheryl, was I got a little cut off when you were talking about dropping the pressure. But what that felt like to me was like if you could bring more of an energy of unconditional love to yourself, where you are just loving and supporting yourself through whatever you're feeling and wherever you are, without all these stories of judgment and needing to be different and needing to be more feminine and needing to get things perfect and right. I mean, I think that would free up a lot of space and would actually allow you just to enjoy and experience what you're doing without the sort of the judgment on it. But then I loved what Michelle was talking about, because this is something I did as well, was the little places you can soften a little, the little places you can integrate a little bit of the feminine. If it is that, you know, if you typically wear your hair slicked back, you let it be a little bit wild and soft for that day, or you wear more jewelry or a loose flowy top or florals, or, you know, similar to me when I was working in an office, I would have rose water that I would spray because it just anchored me into the feminine, or the little crystals, or I'd play soft music through the day. They're little things that you can bring in that will just re-anchor you into the feminine. I would drink like this beautiful herbal tea that had a lot of feminine herbs in it. Again, we're just allow me to feel that to bring that energy even into needing to show up sometimes in a masculine way. Even sometimes if we look at things around the way we communicate, you know, we can slow down and soften just our language or the speed at which we're trying to move everything, and there are little ways you can integrate a little bit more of that feminine in there too. But I love everything that everyone shared.
Thank you all.
Beautiful. Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you for your share. Give me a wave if you would like to go next. Hello, beautiful Paula. Share with us.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you beautifully.
Yeah, excellent. What I'm sort of struggling with is the understanding. So the understanding of, I've been doing a bit of sort of past work, childhood stuff, and I met with a hypnotherapist, and we started some work as well. Go yesterday, and it was quite interesting because what I found was the thoughts and I guess the fears or the story that I put behind these memories, they're just really a memory. What I'm attaching to them doesn't exist.
Wow.
I thought that was massive. So, but I think what I'm struggling with now is because that was the first time I've done a proper body scan and felt a pain and how to move it and into my anchor point, or does it just dissolve? I don't understand the pains. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So I dropped out a little bit, and let me just make sure that I'm clear. So the pains that you're feeling in your body when you're connecting with different memories or...
Okay.
Beautiful question. And I hope I answered this correctly. Let me know if I'm getting to the point of what you're wanting to gain an insight on. But from my perspective, when we talk about emotions and our feelings, you know, it's all energy that's moving through our body at any time. And usually, like, you see kids how they process emotion, right? Like they feel the emotion and it comes out, like you'll know about it. And sometimes what can happen to us when we're growing up, if we're not feeling safe or we're not nurtured or supported with our emotions, or we're judging and closing down to our emotions, they get trapped and stuck in the body. Yes. So we'll have a key defining experience. We might feel, say you feel fear in that moment, or you feel unworthy, you feel something really strong, that can then can be suppressed and become... Am I dropping out a little bit or am I okay?
A little bit, but I'm still there.
Still getting me?
Yeah.
it can become trapped in the body, and it actually becomes stored in different parts of our body. And what I found through doing the body work as well is that you can scan through the body and find, like, I've been working on heart chakra stuff a lot at the moment, and when I tune into my heart energy, there is wounds there, like, ow, like visceral pain from past experiences that haven't been fully felt and processed. Now, I believe the reason there's a pain there is because it gets your attention. Because how else would your body tell you there's something that needs to be resolved unless you could feel it? That's why, you know, we get experience of pain when there's something the body's like, oh, you've got inflammation here, you need to look at that. You've got a cut here, you need to look at that. Same with emotional pain. It's hey, there's something unresolved here. And the pain draws our focus to it. And sometimes the more intense the pain is, the more we really need to look at it. So I feel like, from my understanding, it's showing us that there's something that hasn't been fully processed and resolved, and that ability to go back and tune back in and unpack what the memory is, the meaning that we created, how it defined us. And when you can actually go in and fully feel the emotion that wasn't able to be felt, you can release it. Because I think, like, the emotion is like a hook sometimes, that we will recircle back over things with the same emotion getting activated over and over and over if it's not resolved. And once you can feel it and process it, I mean, there's no need for that part of your body to keep getting your attention because you've felt it and healed it. Is that resonating and clarifying what you were asking? Or
it is. I think, is there any possible way to process this on my own? Does that make sense? Having the hypnotherapist and yourself to guide me through things, is there anything that I can just spend time with on my own so then I can let go of this shit?
Yeah, it's the willingness to feel, and it's the willingness to really go in to that sensation when it arises. So there will be things always that are triggering those feelings, or maybe they just come into our awareness. And what my practice usually is, and I'm trying to think if I was going to teach you guys this at some point, or maybe I've already spoken about it through other courses, but what I would normally do, we talked about it in the first workbook. Say it's in my heart. Say I notice, because I'm processing some things at the moment, and I notice, there's emotion here or there's discomfort here. What I would do is I would be like, I need to support myself through this. Maybe go sit in my bedroom, turn down the lights, light a candle, put on some music, and be like, right, let's go into this emotion. And I'd probably put my hand over it because it helps me connect in. And I would just be using my breath and my awareness to come down in to that sensation. And for me, I'm usually trying to unpack the sensation through talking it out loud. So, okay, there's this feeling in my heart. What is this? Well, it feels heavy. It feels tight. It feels big. I might ask myself, what's the emotion that's there? And I would be like, oh, it's like pain. It's hurt, it's rejection, it's abandonment. I might begin to identify what the emotion is there. And again, I'd be just breathing into it. And I'm like, you know, it feels heavy, and it feels the size of my hand, and it feels dark. And I'm just really trying to connect into the sensation. And then I might ask myself, what is this about, Con? What is this about for you? Where did this come from? And I might be like, okay, at the moment it feels related to this person. It feels related to my fear that this isn't going to work out, X, Y, Z. And then deeper than that, I might be like, oh my gosh, this reminds me of that feeling I had with my dad when my dad left. And you might begin to really, the more you go into it, but get some awareness around what that sensation is and why it's there.
Thank you.
Does that make sense? Sorry if I'm dropping in and out, my loves. Sorry, yeah. Paula, I lost you a bit there.
That's all right. I was just saying thank you.
Oh, beautiful. So that does support you with that?
Yeah, it's something I can try, definitely.
It takes a lot of practice, and it takes a lot of courage to really be able to go in, and you may not get massive insight every time, but I think that simple practice of I'm feeling something, let me tune in and see if I can listen to myself and what this is trying to tell me.
Yeah.
Beginning that as a practice you'll be able to build on that and gain beautiful insights and clarity as a result.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. That's beautiful, big work you're doing. So well done on that.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Oh, love you guys. Who wants to go next?
May I?
Beautiful. Jackie, go for it.
Thanks. So whilst obviously I've had a couple of good weeks and gave Cheryl that feedback about how I've dealt with some of that, self-trust and doubt is still very much there, issues of self-trust. And being able to maintain this, or also thoughts of, being as I have been has served me for a long time. So if I start thinking otherwise, am I going to lose some of my productivity and drive? You know, it's really just, you know, some resistance moving forward that, okay, so however, you know, at the same time I've gone, okay, I'm committed to this process. We're just going to flow through it and we'll see. But at the same time, you know, I am having the issues with thinking that I can trust myself with this long term and integrate it.
What I'm also hearing is like trusting the feminine. I think a lot of us don't always trust our feminine, maybe to be able to put full faith that she's going to be able to deliver for us, maybe in the way that we're used to. That's a really big thing to land on. Am I dropping out here? Tell me more about the fear. So I won't have the same productivity or drive. Tell me what's the fear there underneath that. What are you afraid will happen?
That momentum will slow, that that I won't be able to achieve the things that I want to in life. It's a pretty big dumping feeling on the feminine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like that the feminine can't achieve.
Why is achievement so important for you?
I don't know.
Just sit with it.
So I suppose when I say achievement, it's not achievement in general. It's just my dreams for my life. So it really isn't about what other people see. It really is about where I want to be.
Yeah. And what are those dreams? What's most important to you in your own heart to achieve at the moment?
Well, to have what I would like in my life would be to get off the rat race. But I feel like I need to get further into the rat race to get the level of security to then have the life that I want. Sort of a chicken or the egg.
Is that true? Do you think there's another way for you to have what you want that doesn't require that?
Well, I'm hoping. And I suppose that's the level of the trust things as well. Like if I approach things from the feminine, will it open up something else or another way of doing things for me? And that's the self-doubt and the self-trust, because I'm doubting that it can.
The reason I was asking you a bit about what these desires are, and what I actually feel to say to you, is to get really clear on what the desire is. So when you say to get off the rat race, at the moment the languaging, and I know I didn't go further into it with you, but the language is kind of like what I don't want, what I'm trying to get away from.
Yeah.
And the feminine and the heart's like, you know, here's what I want. I want a life of freedom and joy. I want to do work that I love on my own terms, whatever it is. So we want to language that in a way that feels exciting and inspiring and heart-driven, right? Because I know that desire is there for you. Yeah. And so that's the desire. We know that. Now the mind will be like, the only way I know how to potentially get there is the way that I've been doing things. The way that makes sense is like, duh, 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 duh. We've got more work to do before we can get there.
Mm.
And maybe that's the case. Maybe there is a little bit of work around setting some things up to get there. But the way that I would encourage you to work with your heart and your intuition and your feminine on this is, first of all, we focus on the desire. Don't focus on the how so much, because the mind wants the how. Instead, we say, okay, this is my desire. This is the life that I would want. Maybe I'm going to create a vision board, get really clear. What would that look like? What would that feel like? What would my days be like? So that we have a vision that's really exciting and inspiring. And then from there, the way I would work with it is noticing the mind would be like, you know, A, B, C, D, here's what needs to happen, versus show me. Show me. We tune in and maybe we journal and we ask the heart and the intuition, show me, how can I create this? How can I create and move towards this in a way that will feel joyful and light and easy? Maybe it means if I bring in the feminine, it's going to take me an extra year, 18 months to get there, because I'm just going to set this up in a sustainable, nourishing way, perhaps, rather than trying to like get there as quickly as I can, maybe. But when we really sit with desires like that and we open up and trust this desire has come to us because we're ready for it, and a part of us says this is what we're ready to step into, the surrender piece is like, beautiful, show me how to get there. And if I want, I often think of this Abraham Hicks quote, you can't have an unhappy journey to a happy destination.
Mm.
And so if we want to create a destination that's based on the feminine, beautiful, how do I bring the feminine with me on there, and how do I take a feminine approach to getting there? Tell me what's dropping in for you as we're talking about this. What are you feeling?
You said then that, you know, your happy place through an unhappy journey is very much resonates, because it's not a happy journey, not, well, you know, not happy, joy, beautiful days. Like, there's contentment in some aspects. But that's nice to hear that, and that's in the last 2 weeks I have done that, you know, I've just sort of gone with the flow. And so surrendering maybe a bit more to the process. And like I said, I've committed to going through this, and we'll see what happens. I'm just expressing.
Go for it.
The doubt.
Sure.
However, I'm here to surrender.
And, you know, if there's doubt, that's okay. It's actually okay, because I'm saying to you is, you've walked this path of the known for how long? Like, you all know how to do things the way you've been doing them. We do. But then, oh, I come into this journey where someone says, oh, now you've got to do it in a new way. Of course, a part of you is going to be like, well, I have no idea how that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think that is a really natural part of opening up to doing something in a brand new way, when you don't as yet have proof and evidence to show you that it's going to work as effectively as a different way. But maybe the intention is just, it's going to feel a hell of a lot better for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe that's what we focus on at the moment, is like, I just want this to feel good at the moment. I want to enjoy this journey.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, the last 2 weeks have felt a lot better. So it's a good start.
And when doubt comes up, you can say, thank you, doubt. I completely respect and understand that you're here. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to make you wrong. Totally okay. Doubt is presenting. I completely understand that. But what do I want to do about that in this moment? I can witness, as you've been doing, I can witness the doubt, notice it, and be like, okay, cool, doubt's present, get it. But I'm still going to take this step forward in this direction. Or I can follow my doubt and let it pull me back into my old ways, because I feel much more safe and secure in that old way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you.
It's big and beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Does anyone have anything they want to offer, Jackie? Anything they're feeling?
Yeah, I will. Jackie, the unknown is unfamiliar. It's I was there probably maybe right in the beginning. I didn't want to open the diary. I didn't want to open that first video. Jump in. What can go wrong? If it feels better already, imagine how much better it can feel. Trust yourself, honey. Trust yourself.
It's so weird. Every time I look at you, Paula, like I just see like solar plexus energy with this like beautiful yellow sunshine. It's like, because it represents confidence, you know, like that. And this is going to be a big, like this, like self-trust, like it's, we don't build that overnight. We build that by like, I'm going to be courageous and follow this inner pull and see what happens. Okay. I didn't fall flat on my face. I felt better. Yeah. Okay, cool. Did that one. Where's the next step now? And then we build the trust and the confidence in this new approach along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it feels good, keep going.
Thank you, beautiful. Yeah, thank you for that. Oh, I just see sunshine radiating off you. Does anyone else have anything they'd want to offer? Jackie?
I was going to say, Jackie, there's something I learned a couple of years ago was to really trust the process of the changes that you want to make. And I think really identify how it is you want to feel. Like you don't need to know what the destination looks like, but it's enjoying the journey as you go along. And if what you want to feel is more freedom and more joy, well, then what does that actually look like? How can you embody that now and not wait until you get there in 6 months, 12 months, 5 years, because it's trusting that you're being guided for a reason. And it's not just about self-trust, but it's also trusting the universe is going to guide you to where it is you want to be. And whilst that sounds really contrite in a lot of ways, trusting the process, whilst it's extraordinary, because it's like, just put faith in yourself, have faith in the path that's been set for you and trust your journey along that, because it's not easy. But it's like a mentor said to me many years ago, it's like, well, where do you want to be? And I'm like, well, you know, I want to have my own business and I want to feel, you know, freedom of not being 9 to 5 and in the accounting and legal world, maybe from 7 till 7 at night. I don't want to have that constriction anymore. I want to feel that freedom. And he's like, right, okay, put yourself on a tightrope and keep walking and don't look down. Because if you look down and you start doubting, you end up going 5 steps backwards. So it's really putting yourself on the tightrope and going, I want to feel that way. What's going to get me to feeling that way?
Beautiful. Thank you, Michelle. I dropped out a little bit at one point. Sorry, I dropped out a little bit at one point, but I love the part where you were saying about trusting in the universe and the higher guidance too. Not always just self-trust, but realize like you're being held and supported. And so often, like I think Paula talked about this right at the start, we think it's like all on us. We got to figure this stuff out. It's like, no, we can tune in and we'll talk about this more as we move through, but we are being guided and supported and we're not alone at all.
It's like, Jackie, this course is even like a step, like the universe brought you this course, this program, these women to support you. So this was even a trust in the universe as well. So
true. Thank you.
And then look at each moment where you are trusting how it's working out, and it's worked out well for you so far in the moments that you have trusted. Beautiful. Thank you. So good.
To say something to Jackie?
Oh, please go. Yes, I'm coming in and out, so go for it.
Jackie, I don't have any particular advice for you. The other girls have done that wonderfully, but I can relate exactly, well, not exactly because I don't know exactly what you're feeling, but I am feeling something similar. And because I have been working a lot more in my feminine energy as much as I can, and it makes me feel good. I do feel currently at work that it's actually really stretching me, because I'm not quite as motivated to do some of the hard masculine stuff as what I previously did. Yeah. So it is tugging a little, and I do think it's a good thing, because I do feel like I am moving closer to a direction maybe that makes me feel better in my career. But at the same time, it brings up a lot of concern, because it's like, well, how long can I continue to work in this job while I'm accessing more of my joy? So I do understand kind of what you're thinking and feeling at the moment, But yeah, but I also asked the universe to help me to balance my lifestyle as well. So you can't have it all. So yeah, I'm just working through it as best I can as well. So yeah.
Thank you. Good to know.
Thank you, Carol. You know, what I felt to say there as well is this is why people avoid doing the work. This is why people avoid listening to their intuition or coming into these courses, because you know once you start to listen, there will be changes that need to happen. And it's not always easy. When you start to realize, holy crap, when I change, I'm falling out of alignment now with the way that I used to do things. And so some things might need to change now. So it's a little scary and unsettling, but we're all holding you through this, you know, as we're here together. And it's beautiful to hear you all moving through it. Similar things at similar times. Thank you, Jackie, for sharing. You all, you women, for sharing your guidance as well. All right, we have Jennifer, Michelle, and Carol left. Who would like to go next?
I'm happy to.
Beautiful, Michelle, rock and roll.
I think the biggest thing that I need support with is self-connection. I really, truly struggle to sit in any emotional state because it hurts my heart and it makes my body feel really uncomfortable. You know, for me, I'm a big believer in body wisdom. And, you know, as you were saying before, you know, pains in your body come up and the instant reaction for me is go grab some Panadol or pain relief, take that instead of actually feeling what the emotion is. But sometimes I think the biggest thing that I also need support with is even identifying when there is something that wants to be felt, because I avoid it, because that armor around my heart is so strong that to sit and feel and let that come down is extraordinarily hard for me. And like even talking about it makes me want to cry, and it actually is really, my heart is hurting now even admitting that, because I really struggle to just sit, connect with what's there, and then this big build up happens and I have a breakdown and just go and hibernate for a week and don't talk to anyone. So I just really would love some guidance on how to identify, other than the pains that come into your body, when something does need to be felt, and then how to connect to it other than sitting and like meditating. Like for me, even when I meditate to a guided meditation. I don't sit in silence. Mm-hmm. So even that to me is a way to avoid what my intuition is telling me. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm struggling with.
You started connecting as you were talking. You said, I feel the pain in my heart and I feel like I want to cry. There you go. Mm. That's the beginning point. What are the tears about that are here?
Because I'm 46 years old and I have spent my whole life guarded because there's been so much pain. So the armor around my heart is just like, no, if the wall is there, there can't be any more pain. Really to actually, I know I need to let that armor down. I know I need to let that wall down. But it's really goddamn scary because I remember many years ago, I'm going to admit it, a Dr. Philism. It was like, you know, how is that pain serving you? And you need to actually learn how to trust yourself to come back from whatever that painful event is and trust life. And I, every time I do that, then some other form of pain really kicks in, or there's some other form of attack, or if I allow myself to be vulnerable with someone, then more pain happens and I just find myself in a spiral and it just becomes harder and harder to come back from that each time. So I open myself up, get hurt, shut back down, and it just, the trust in myself to come back from that, or more for my heart to come back from that, is really hard. So even in the workbook, I was doing the question on heart just before, and how does my heart feel? It's, my heart feels empty. It feels hollow. It feels broken, but there is still that unconditional love and trust that it wants to give to others, but I have the wall up to go, no, 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 because we can't come back again. Like, it's just too hard to come back from that again.
My feeling is it needs to begin with you before anyone else. And maybe there's a lot to build up here around trust still with other people. And maybe we're not as yet ready to be like, cool, you're going to get my whole heart. I'm going to drop my walls with you. But I feel like, do you feel like at the moment you could trust yourself to be a space to begin to drop those walls with yourself and let yourself feel?
Oh, I'm nice. Absolutely. Like, I let them down and trust myself, but it's when I drop the walls down with, like, even with life experiences, it's with, like, it's not even in romantic relationships. It's like, even for me, you know, I had a couple of instances earlier in this month where my family went on the attack of the lifestyle that I've chosen to live. And it's like, okay, walls back up. We can't, like, because it was coming from all angles. So it's like, you know, I can trust myself to be vulnerable for me, but then that has me isolate myself away from the world. Mm-hmm. So it's hard.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I think there's a couple of things that you've brought up, and I think they're sort of separate to some extent. So the first thing you brought up around your ability to feel and hold space for and drop the walls with yourself to feel the pain that's in your heart, right? So that's one conversation first in itself. And that feels like the starting point of the work of like, okay, this is hard. This is scary. This is uncomfortable. You use the word uncomfortable. And so often what we want to do is avoid and disconnect from anything that feels uncomfortable. And we all know how we do that. The beginning point is I'm ready to learn how to feel this. I'm willing to feel. I'm ready to learn how to open up my heart to myself and let down these walls and process this pain. Like the process I talked about with Paula is how I would work through some of that and really starting really small with you, like not having the expectations on yourself to drop all your armor and drop all your walls, because they've served a purpose. They have protected you and kept you safe. And your body will completely freak out if you suddenly want to remove all of these self-protective patterns in one full swoop. It might just be, you know, I would say as a beginning practice, and this might be, it might take some work, but if in any moment you do notice and can become aware of a sensation, a feeling, even you become aware of, I want to go get the Panadol, I want to go eat something, I want to go distract, oh, okay, there's something I'm wanting to avoid right now. Now, the beginning point would be just the acknowledgement of, there's something I'm feeling here. And I want to start to listen to what that is for me. I remember when I would work over my feelings all the time, to the extent that I'd be like working like this. And sometimes I'd just stop and be like, Connie, whoa, what's going on? Get off the computer. Something's going on for you right now. And I would have to sit down and I'd lay on my back on the floor and be like, what's going on? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm feeling stuff. And I didn't even realize because I was just trying to work over it. So I think the first step is the willingness to really acknowledge, yeah, well, I'm feeling something here. And can I sit with myself and be willing to feel the discomfort of what's coming up for me? Now, easier said than done, but it takes a lot of courage and strength to feel really uncomfortable stuff, but I think that's the work. And as you actually process the uncomfortable stuff, you're going to be unlocking new levels of joy. Like when you create a wall in your heart to not feel pain, you're creating a wall in your heart to not feel joy. You numb out to everything. Hmm. And I actually feel like what I'm hearing, and I got goosebumps, is like, this is going to set you free. Mm-hmm. Willingness to feel. So I think the first focus is you and you, right? You and your willingness to at times be willing to be uncomfortable and look at the places and the ways you can distract yourself from that and have the courage to just breathe in. Even if it's like, okay, my practice is hand on the area, 5 deep breaths. That's all I need to do with my starting point is sit, 5 deep breaths. Maybe how am I feeling? What's going on for me right now? Maybe that's all we do as a starting point. And then we build on that as that gets easier. The second piece around other people, and I think there's a lot to this, so I may not be able to get right on the money with it right away, but what I was hearing was boundaries. So I think I said this in the video that our heart is precious. Your heart is precious, and it does need to be protected, not necessarily with walls, but with boundaries. And I think sometimes if the boundaries haven't been there, we've ended up having to put walls up instead to protect us. Now, this might be a big ongoing area of work for you, particularly around family. Gosh, it's hard with family, and I struggle with men around it too. But there's sort of boundaries around like what you're no longer willing to tolerate and accept from people. Like, I feel like I don't want you to keep putting your heart out to people who are just going to like step all over it. Well, like, she does need some protection through, like, this is not a safe space for me to be right now with this person. This is not a safe person for me to confess my feelings to, because I haven't yet established if they have my best interests at heart, if they're going to, if I can trust them, and if I'm safe here. And if I'm not, like, you don't get access to my heart. Is that landing at all?
Yeah, it does. And I think that I've always, and maybe naively, I'm the emotional one in my family. I'm the baby, but I'm the emotional one, whereas my family are not. And they tend to pick that out as the weakness, and therefore they know how to, you know, I heard recently someone say, I don't know where it was, your family know how to push your buttons because they're the ones that put them there. and I just feel that I naively believe that people are like me, and people are genuine, and people only want the best for each other and want to help each other and support each other. And, you know, again, naively, you would believe that your family will be there and want the best for you and want to support you and not tear you down. And even after 46 years of pain with them, I still go back for more. Now, there was a period of time where I estranged from them for 8 years because I couldn't cope, and they were the happiest 8 years of my life. But 4 years ago, my dad passed away. He had cancer and he passed away, and I reconnected. And now it's like the boundaries are saying to me, like, for me to put boundaries in place is I need to separate from them, yet that also doesn't feel right. Like, it needs that. I need to have an energetic boundary that sits there and says, well, you're there, you're my family, I know I'm meant to love you, but at the same time, I don't, like, someone sent me a clip recently of Elizabeth Gilbert saying, sometimes you need to love your family from a distance.
Yeah, I had to take a massive break from my family as well. Really not an easy thing to do. And I was able to come back in and create a whole new dynamic with them through the space. And I don't always recommend to people, oh, just cut off contact with your family. What I just really feel to say to you is, this is, you've got to really look at what you need. Like, I know you're really beautiful, and a lot of you are at being aware of what other people need. You got to look at what you need. And I feel to say to you as well, like, if you really go in and ask yourself, and you started doing it there, where you're like, yeah, my body's telling me I need boundaries. My body's telling me it might be taking a break from them again. I feel like if you go in and listen, there's a part of you that's going to be telling you what you really need for you at the moment. And it may mean being selfish. It may mean taking a break for a bit. It might mean really putting in some boundaries. But I just feel to say, like, you need to be nurtured at the moment. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we are put in families that just can't nurture us in the way that we need to. And that's how we come into these programs, and that's how we hire coaches and find like-minded people who are like us, who are sensitive and empathic, because we need to be understood. I hope I'm not dropping out. I feel like I am a bit. We need to be understood and held by people who get us. And I think this is something we're going to continue to unpack through the course, but I just sort of say at this moment, tune in and ask yourself what you really need if you were to fully look out for yourself and yourself only in this moment, and then act on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds good.
This is going to be big. We'll keep unpacking this through the thing, but thank you so much for sharing and your beautiful vulnerability. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Whew, I have big shivers about that one. You're amazing. Thank you. Just really look out for you, Michelle, that you really need you at the moment. You really do. And you're precious, and don't give yourself to people who can't hold you.
Thank you.
All right, Carol or Jennifer, who's going next?
I will.
Beautiful, Jennifer.
First, I just want to thank everyone for sharing everything, because you guys have touched on everything that I've sort of been struggling with, like the understanding the perfectionism and the self-doubt and surrendering, and then just being like, oh my God, what's next? It's the uncomfortableness that I'm just not used to. I think a little bit going off of Michelle as well too, and Carol, you guys had sort of talked about, like, maybe you could explain it a bit more with the, like, I'm really good at, because I've worked on this for a couple of years, of grounding myself, feeling my energy, and just having that self-care time. But then I get out into the real world, and I completely disconnect and lose that boundary. So what I'm sort of struggling is keeping that energy within me, but getting out in the real world, because my body is saying, like, okay, get out, have fun. But then I lose it all, if that makes sense.
Yeah. What changes, just really think about it. It might be hard to pinpoint. What changes that causes you to lose touch? Where does your focus go? What happens that causes you to go from, cool, I'm here, I'm focused, yeah, I'm in, to, I've lost it, I'm out there?
It could be a few things. It could be the old patterning of showing up as a perfectionist so I don't get judged or anything like that. I think I say yes to a lot of things as well, which I mentioned earlier. I say yes to a lot of things, with meaning not wanting to say no because I don't want anyone else to get hurt. But meanwhile, I forget about what I need for myself. Or maybe I recognize it. I just don't know how to, I don't know how to explain it, but just say no, maybe.
Mm. And this is a really interesting thing to see. So when you're in your own self-care time, you are saying yes to you. You're listening to what you want and need. You're fully honoring it. You're not in that moment being concerned about, how am I being perceived? Am I perfect enough? Do people like this? You just, like, you're listening to you, yeah, and tuned in. So then we can say, okay, what happens? I go out into the world. My focus goes on to other people. And I start thinking about, what are they thinking about me, or what's their perception of this, or what's their view of this? And then again, I go to make a decision, and rather than tuning into me, I'm thinking about them. What do they need? What's the right thing to do for them? So we start to see where the disconnect happens. You can sort of start to see, what is the pattern of thinking that goes on that shifts my focus off me and onto others?
Yeah.
So let's look at this one. So the saying yes, if you notice at the moment your tendency is it just to be saying yes automatically and not really considering what you want or feel?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. If you could create a new practice around that, around the decisions you're making, the commitments you're making, choices that really honors you, what would you love to see yourself practicing in those moments when an opportunity presents to decide if you want to say yes or no?
I think surrendering. I think I have a hard time just surrendering to the other people and just saying, okay, I need a minute, or maybe I am going to say no and not worry about what you feel or think about it. I find it hard.
Yeah. Surrendering can sometimes feel like a powerless word. What I almost feel with this is, it's actually giving yourself permission to take a moment, to take some space to check in with actually what you want to do. And maybe saying to that person, oh, can I get back to you in an hour? Or you don't reply to the email or the message right away. And you actually give yourself permission to ask yourself first what you want.
Yeah.
And sit with yourself and really, really feel into, okay, how would it feel to say yes to this, and how would it feel to say no? Does saying yes feel like, oh my gosh, it's going to overwhelm me, or I have resistance, or I just would feel no joy in that? It's not something I want to do. I might feel some guilt or something around not saying yes, but if saying yes doesn't feel good to me, okay, honoring myself in this moment would mean saying no. And maybe being really honest, sorry if I'm dropping out again, maybe being really honest around why, and saying, you know, thank you so much, but at the moment I just don't have the capacity to take that on, or I don't have time this weekend, or I need some self-care this weekend, I need some rest. I'd love to give that to you as, like, giving yourself permission to take space to ask yourself what you want to do, what you want, before you say yes or no to another.
Yeah, that's helpful to hear, for sure.
You think that's possible?
No, I just have to, yes, it is possible. I just have to do it.
And with any of these new things that each of you are going to take on, it's going to be like, okay, I might not be perfect at that right away, and I'm going to have to practice that, and it's going to feel uncomfortable. It's all going to feel uncomfortable. Everything that you're doing that will evolve and require some type of growth will get you uncomfortable. on some level because it's new and it's different, it's unfamiliar. But maybe find easy places, you know. So if there's a place that you find it really, really hard, like if it's a family member, a partner, whatever it is, that might maybe not be the area to start. If it's just like a friend being like, do you want to have coffee? And you're kind of like, I could say yes or no, and I wouldn't be too concerned what they thought of me. Use that as a place to practice. What do I really want? Does it actually light me up to have coffee with them, or am I only doing it out of obligation? Mm-hmm. Let me really honor what I want or need. So I give you that as a practice. Just quickly about the perfectionism. So when you're with people, you're thinking, tell me more about how that's playing out, what you're thinking when you're with people around this perfectionism stuff.
It's just the critical self-talk, sort of like Cheryl was also saying. I really, really watch. I mean, why? Then I won't be judged or anything like that.
I missed a little bit of it because of my connection. Say that again. So what came before, sorry. Then I won't be judged?
I kind of forget. So I think, I think just what, I really relate a lot with what Cheryl was saying about that critical self-talk. And I think that's what's running through my head. So I know that I have to get out of my head and just not worry as much.
What are you most concerned people will judge you for or make judgments about you about?
I think it's old patterning of just not feeling like I've been enough.
I can relate to that.
What's your old pattern tell you makes you enough? Is it pleasing other people, being a certain way?
Oh, yeah, totally. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
This might be a difficult question to answer, but what does it mean to be enough?
I think I can answer that now, just from the work that I've done and just even going over this book was just when I'm truly in my heart, I feel whole, and that's what enough is. So now I need to carry that with me.
That's like really profound. Because the old model of like, I'm enough when I get the results, I'm enough when I make everyone happy, I'm enough when I'm a perfect mom or employee or business owner, I'm enough when I look this way. Like all of that stuff that we've been living for so long that makes us actually never enough. I think I said this to you, Cheryl. You can never hit it. You can't make enough people happy. You can't make enough money. You can't get enough results, right? But what you said was so damn good. And you're like, when I go into my heart and I realize I'm whole, then I'm enough.
Yeah,
like goosebumps.
Yeah, so now I know that it's just carrying it with me, which is I find the tricky part, but I guess that's this work that I have to just keep working with.
Yeah, the beautiful reminder of that. So you hear that old story that says, oh no, you're not enough for them, you've got to be like this, and you maybe you have something that helps you, just you take a breath into your heart and you're like, no, remember, I'm whole, I'm perfect, I'm complete, I'm enough just here because I'm in my heart and I'm being me in this moment. Whatever you all think, like you can all have your perceptions and judgments, but I know who I am and how I feel. And the more that you honor that truth, the more empowered you feel. You're just like, yeah, and I am someone who lives in tune with myself and I'm in my power and I communicate my truth and I do what's right for me. And that's what every single one of us should be doing on this planet. No one taught us, though, to live fully guided by ourselves. We were taught we make everyone else happy. No, but I'm learning a new way now, and I'm going to model that to people in my life, and I'm going to show them this is how I'm living, and I'm going to help you live that way too.
Yeah, that feels so, so right, even hearing that.
And as always, the actual practice and implementation is the hard part, but this awareness and coming into this knowing is the starting point.
Completely. Yeah, so thank you for that.
Wow. Does anyone have anything they want to share on that? Anything they're feeling? That was really big for me to hear that.
Only that just resonates so much with what I'm feeling as well. And when you're saying it's never enough, that goes into that whole thing. Like I was saying, I'm continually buying things to satisfy that need of being enough. And I never can, or I'm continually looking for an image if you like, you know, of what I'd like to have. And also what Michelle was saying really resonated as well, that in actual fact, I'm so guarded all the time, and that's part of the image, you know, you just, because you don't want people to see that vulnerability. And if I ever feel that people actually get to see that, I just shut down completely and almost cut them off. So,
Can you see though, in watching each of you be vulnerable, can you feel, I feel it in my heart, the way we all connect through each of you being so courageous in dropping some walls here. I saw it in your first videos and being like, here's who I am. Again, society hasn't been set up to support us to be like that, which is why we sort of need to be seeking out these places where we can practice being this way. But wow, like what I've got to see in each of you through your willingness to be vulnerable here, like imagine if we were all in here guarded. I'm just going to show you my perfect, nice self. There'd be no transformation happening whatsoever in this group. There'd be nothing happening.
I certainly wouldn't be in my pajamas.
It would be shit boring. We'd all just be like, I'm just gonna be perfect. Oh yeah, I've got it all together over here. And yeah, like, you know, we'd just block. None of us would be feeling anything. Your rawness is so like fucking beautiful. I love it. Thank you for each bringing it. You're so courageous. Carol, your turn.
Okay, all right. I don't know. I'm going to touch, I think, on several things that everyone else has said today. Firstly, I just want to say, though, to Michelle that I get the whole family thing. I'm actually the baby of three older brothers. And probably about 6 months ago, my oldest brother said to me, "What are you crying for, Carol?" when I was trying to express something from the heart. So it's like, you know, when someone says that to you, that's supposed to be close to you and supposed to be a supporter of you, you kind of go, you kind of get the finger up at the time and go, get stuffed.
I'll work it still out. Still doesn't mean it doesn't hurt though, right?
Oh, no.
Oh, Carol, I want to see this part of you ever.
part of my discussion today will be about him as well, so that's why I'm kind of segueing into this. But yeah. Michelle, and something that you grow up really prioritizing and wanting to see family be so special, and it's really hard, but I've kind of had to really adjust the way I feel about, well, think about family over the last year just because of circumstances. And I've personally felt that having just a bit of a break from me putting energy into that has been good for me. But every now and again, it comes back into your reality and you got to deal with it again. So, I'm dealing with it too. Don't worry. All right. okay, so my segue into that was, Connie, as you know, going through the process at the moment with my mum in terms of perhaps shifting her location because she's getting a bit older. So I've kind of recently just taken it on board, my intuition, to be able to provide what I think is probably the best solution that I see for my mum. And I've considered that over several months. So yesterday, and I've kind of not involved my brothers as much in that consultation process because there's been a little bit of family stuff going on with my mum, and I didn't want to... I wanted to try and find a solution and just, you know, because I'm pretty close to my mum, and I kind of do feel that perhaps I'm maybe best suited to help her, guide her through what she's going through. And obviously yesterday she had a lot of fears and anxieties coming up. And it's not to say that I haven't either, because, you know, I've been quite nervous about, you know, the whole process and how it's going to all sort of pan out, and reading contracts and things like that. But I guess I bring this up because yesterday my oldest brother got in contact with me, and I guess he's kind of assumed the head of the family role since my dad passed away. And I kind of, what's sitting with me in terms of my feelings at the moment is actually just a bit of a little bit of doubt in terms of my abilities to kind of step up and trust my intuition, and then also express that to other people that think that they might know how to handle the situation better. So it kind of, when he was in contact and started sort of asking questions, I started getting a little bit anxious about, you know, was he going to try and not sabotage, but try to get involved, and would I be able to have the courage enough to just speak up and speak what I feel, and not feel judged with it, and just sit with it and be comfortable in my feelings and fears and triggers, I suppose. So yeah, so that's kind of part of what I'm experience at the moment.
This is so beautiful for you, because through this process, what, and you've articulated it so well, what you're working on is really trusting your own intuition, really trusting yourself despite what someone else might think or their opinions, acting on that, really executing on the plan of what you feel is right, and standing in that and owning that and then communicating that. And I was really hearing standing in your power. And I felt to say to you, and I felt to ask, what would, like, if you can imagine the most empowered version of you, the woman that's just like, here's who I am. I'm intuitive. I'm plugged in. I'm smart. I'm strong. I'm intelligent. I'm courageous. And I'm in my power. How would that woman handle this if she just fully, like, backed herself completely and owned all her choices and had not a single inch of doubt about that? How would she handle this conversation or anything that's unfolding in this situation?
I think I would be more open to a sort of express, you know, that I am, you know, that I am feeling, you know, just as nervous as anyone else about change, but also that I can handle it, and that that I feel like my intuition will sort of lead me to where I think is going to be the best solution, and that I will be able to handle it into the future. Because that's the other doubt too, is that, you know, what if I make a wrong decision and in the future it shows up and then someone turns around and the family says, oh yeah, but hang on a minute, you didn't want to do this, or didn't, you know, didn't involve us and stuff like that.
Well, you can see there's a little bit of your own doubt in yourself happening, and that will be mirrored and reflected back through someone else. And so sometimes when we are doubting ourselves, we do tend to manifest other people who then doubt us, because it activates what we're feeling. That happened to me a lot when I got onto my path of life coaching. I'd be like, oh, you know, look, I'm a life coach and I'm doing this thing. And I was full of doubt, and people would be like, what do you mean you're a life coach? And now when I communicate about it, I'm like, yeah, this is what I do. And even if someone challenges me, I'm like, I don't give a shit if you challenge me, because I know that this is awesome. My certainty communicates a very different energy. So there's something around you doing some little shifts here to stand with more certainty in yourself and what you believe and what you've chosen to do. And no one knows if any of their choices are going to work out to be the best choices or the not best choices in the long run. How could any of us know? All we know is in this moment, what makes the most sense and what feels the most right. And all we need to do is communicate from that place of, like, here's what I've chosen, this is why I've chosen it, and this feels like the right thing at this time. So I'd almost say it's okay. Like, I sometimes practice these conversations in front of the mirror. If I've got something really important to communicate that I know I'm going to, like, get a bit triggered or doubtful around, I practice it a few times. What is it I want to say? What do I want to communicate? If he says this, what do I want to say back? Maybe a little bit of prep so that you feel really confident and certain in what you want to communicate back. And also, if you've made one of these choices, just fully own it. Just be like, you know what? This is what my intuition said. I've acted on it. It's right. And I'm not going to question it anymore.
Yeah.
And when you bring that energy, other people won't question you.
Yeah.
Or if they do, it won't affect you. Because you're like, no, but this is what felt right in this moment. That's why I'm doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think continue to communicate, if it comes up, continue to communicate, how I feel this is. I don't want to say justify it, like, I don't want to justify it, because I didn't have to justify it. I've been allowed to step into the role of doing this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just need to continue to feel when it feels a little bit like, oh, tugging away at the heart sort of thing, like, you know, feeling a bit anxious. Yeah, and just keep feeling through it, I guess, as it comes up and expressing it. Yeah.
And let me ask you, what makes you feel strong and powerful? What really helps you connect with the feeling of being strong and powerful? Not in an aggressive way, in like a feminine, like I'm in my power and I'm strong, I'm a strong woman.
Yeah, and I think that too, what you just brought up, Connie, is that in the past, maybe I have used more ego and masculine type of energy to feel more power. So feeling this feminine power is probably just a little bit more, not as practiced. So I'm getting away from the question, but...
What makes you feel strong and powerful as a woman who's plugged into the entire universe and is so wise and heart-centered and powerful?
Yeah, it's about, I think for me, it's about trust. Trust in myself. Trust in the universe. I'm not really answering this question very well.
Maybe do some journaling and reflection on it.
Yeah,
Yeah, and also just be mindful of your self-talk. If we want to access those feelings, sometimes we need to really bring in self-talk, like, I've got this. I trust myself. I know what I'm doing. This is what intuitively I felt guided to do, and I'm standing fully in this. And sometimes we sort of need to pep talk ourselves into that energy to help remind us. And that, you know, that's something I do. So I feed on the floor and I might do a little pep talk in the mirror and be like, Connie, you got this, right? Trust yourself. You know what you chose. You know it was right. Stand in it. You might just do some deep breaths, get your feet on the ground. Like really like breathe into your belly, breathe into your heart, maybe play some like powerful music and just start to get into that, tap into that feeling and speak to yourself in that way of like, I am a strong, powerful woman and I got this and I'm intuitively plugged in. I'm not trying to dominate anyone. I am doing what is best for my heart here. And sometimes we just need to talk ourselves into that energy a little bit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah, definitely. And I feel like I can do that, but then when I get influenced by others, then I tend to just lose it a little bit and start, Yeah, so I just need to keep practicing that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Keep pulling your power back in. No. Yeah. You're not more powerful than me. You don't get power over me.
Yeah. Cool.
Excellent. All right. That's going to be ongoing work for you. I can see, but we can keep talking about it. All right.
Yeah.
So I have recognized these calls are probably going to end up running for 90 minutes because I want to make sure that everyone has space to communicate. So I'm just clear on that now. I can see as we've gone through that. Wow. No one likes that saying. I don't know why I say that. You incredible women are amazing. And I'm so grateful for each of you opening up your heart and opening up yourself to come and share with the group. I'm just going to go around and I want you each just to share one word about how you're feeling right now. It doesn't have to be a positive word. You can be totally honest. But let's just, we'll unmute everyone because we'll wrap up now and we'll just... show one word to describe how you are feeling right now. Jackie.
Real.
Jennifer. Oh, am I frozen? Oh, is Jennifer frozen? I couldn't hear.
Centered? Yeah.
Beautiful. Sorry about my connection. Beautiful. Cheryl, you're still muted. Hang on, unmute you. There you go, love.
Positive.
Beautiful. I'm so glad. Michelle.
Safe.
I'm so glad. You really are safe here. Thank you. I'm so glad. Paula.
Soft. Soft. I feel compassion, which is something I don't feel a lot of.
Heart cracking open right here. So good. Carol.
First word that came up was free, but I'm also feeling really energized as well for being feeling free.
Beautiful. Yeah. It is. It is energizing when you just release all of the blocks that are preventing you being fully who you are. Yeah. And you were all very real and very much yourselves here. So I hope you enjoyed being able to feel that. And thank you to each of you for holding each woman, holding space, providing loving feedback and guidance, sharing your experience. I know for each of you that would have meant a lot, and it was beautiful for me to witness. And I am feeling so immensely grateful. That's how I feel. I feel really honored and grateful to have each of you here. So thank you. Thank you for being here and for sharing yourselves. My connection's unstable, I keep getting told. I will leave it there, but you're all incredible. So we'll be stepping into class 2 next week on Monday. We'll be releasing that so you can start working through that. And I do feel to say, like, if any of you are trying to drop out of all the doingness, to Carol's point, maybe it isn't about trying to complete all the workbooks, and maybe it is sometimes about just pulling out one or two of the questions from the workbook and putting it in your journal and just gently reflecting on it, versus feeling like you have to complete the workbooks like an assignment if that feels too structured for you. Please feel free to tailor and mold this to whatever feels good and right to you. There's no pressure or expectations to complete everything in a certain way. So we can continue that conversation in our Facebook group if we need to, around how best to work through everything. But thank you all for being here. And I will talk to you again in another 2 weeks. We'll start getting onto scheduling in a time for our next call at a time that suits everyone.
Thanks, Connie.
Yeah.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks everyone. Amazing.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Oh, goosebumps.
Bye.